talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Hollywood, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests provide tips, advice, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that we will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. Now, if you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website, and that address is latalkradio.com, latalkradio.com. If you're listening to us live, right at the top of your screen, you want to click on the link that says Channel 1. You scroll down and look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and then click the link. And this takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of all of our past guests. Our shows are also available for download on iTunes, so you can check out any of them on your iTunes station. You want to go to the podcast section for that, and you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box, and all of our shows are there from 2008 on. Now, if you want to find out about our future guest, you want to visit the official Question Reality website, and that website is questionrealityshow.com, questionrealityshow.com. And as I say every week, thank you so much. Our show has become so popular. We are always booked every year, 6 months to a year in advance. Right now, we are currently booking for April 2012. We are booked, which I'm so happy about. So if you know a professional that's in the entertainment industry and they've won an award or they're in the upper echelon of the entertainment industry and want to be a guest and feel that they can help our audience members with their career, please have them email me at PriscillaLeona@yahoo.com. Or again, you can go to questionrealityshow.com and check out who the guests are for this year and the next year. Now, we have a fantastic guest on for you today. Her name is Dr. Frankie Bishan, and she is a relationship expert, a relationship coach, a clinical psychologist, and get this, a matchmaker. Talk about a massive careers. Love it. Today's woman for sure. And I want you to check out her website while I am doing my little advertisement, which I do every week. And her website is drfrankiebishan.com. That's drfrankiebishan.com. Again, drfrankiebishan.com. And you can check her out while we just talk about this. Now, what I wanted to, I have a little cold this weekend. I had a whole bunch of classes and I was going to tell you about a lot of actors workshops classes, but you know, I heard something, I heard about it a couple months ago, but it was really brought to light this week. And I was just really saddened by the trend of actors workshops that are raising their prices and charging monthly fees. Of course, the economy is, you know, that I understand, but it's still sad. And this makes it really harder. It makes it harder for you as an actor to invest in your careers and update your headshots, pay for your classes, and all of those things that will help you be more successful. And this is actors' workshops are just one small tool in your toolbox, but it is such an important one. So I was checking around with various people, directors, producers, other actors, and I found out that there is a workshop called Actors West. And from what I know, and again, I have not been there, but I've talked to several actors who have gone to their workshops, and what they're saying is that this is a workshop that began with a bunch of friends that wanted to help their fellow actors have workshops to come to, and it be low cost because there's so many expenses being an actor. So they started out doing that, and they continue to do that by not charging a monthly fee. And I found out their workshops are 30 to 70% lower than other places. So if cost is an issue, you might want to check them out. If you're not familiar with Actors West, then you want to go to their website, and that's actorswest.com, actorswest.com. And this is a bonded, and they're in full compliance with the California code. So you want to always check that out before you start going to workshops. Hopefully you know that, but just in case you're a beginning actor, they must be in full compliance, and they've got to have a license. It should be on the wall. They've got to be bonded, et cetera, et cetera. So this place has top casting director. That's another thing. When you're choosing an actor's workshop, you want to make sure that they have the top casting directors in the business. If you don't know who that is, then you want to go online and find that out. But some of the top casting directors that have been there are like Brad Gilmore, Corbin Bronson, Craig Campobasso, Dan Shaner, Fern Campion. I'm sure you've seen so many things with Fern Campion, Harriet Greenspan, Paul Weber, Ricky Masler, Sherry Henderson, Susan Glicksman, just tons. So I know you've seen sitcoms and shows and movies that had probably all of these names, but that is what you want to look for. So if this workshop is 30 to 70% lower than other workshops and they're having the same casting directors, why not check it out? So again, I've not been there, don't know anything about it other than what I have been hearing around town from the actors, and they seem to be very pleased. Okay, so let's move on to our guest today. Let me tell you a little bit about her. There's so much to tell, but I had to squeeze a little tiny bit, and we can let her tell us what she wants to tell us about herself. This week, Dr. Frankie Michon is our guest. She was born and raised in New York City, New York, and she completed her undergraduate degree at Northwestern University in Boston. And she has a dual degree with business and communications from there. And she ventured west and attended the Wright Institute in Berkeley, California, and received her master's and doctorate in clinical psychology. And Dr. Bashan's expertise is depression, anxiety, postpartum depression, parenting multiples, relationship issues, post-traumatic stress disorder, and she is also a matchmaker. Can you believe that? I can't wait to get into that. She's a professional matchmaker, shall I say, and relationship expert. She's based now in San Francisco. She's been married for 8 years, has kids, is a doctor, successful businesswoman, and she's only in her 30s. My God, she has me beat. She emphasizes she is not running a dating service, but a quality matchmaking service. So we're going to find out the difference. You know, people, that one of my favorite shows is What the Millionaire Matchmaker. Cannot live without that show. Hate that woman, love that show. I don't know. There's something weird with the whole thing. So some of the things that she has extensive experience in is working with adolescents, adults, and couples. And she treats for postpartum depression, parents struggling with colicky infants, which I have heard can drive you crazy and drive you to various drugs. Don't know personally, but I've heard. Again, we talked about parenting multiples, relationship issues. So we're going to talk to her about other things that may interest us today, and hopefully she can help bring some perspective on how people can deal with pursuing a career in the entertainment industry, because as you know, it is extremely stressful. There's a ton of rejection. I constantly get questions about it. As a matter of fact, when we sent out the email, I I got a couple questions for Dr. Frankie. Hopefully we'll have time to get to them. I do know that I'm going to ask one because this poor woman, I just feel so sad for her. But we're going to at least do one of the questions. But if we don't get to your question, we will ask Dr. Frankie if we could forward them to her. Maybe she can answer them at another time. So without further ado, let's welcome Dr. Frankie Bashan. How are you?
I am great, Priscilla. I'm really excited to be on with you today.
Thank you so much. I appreciate your time. My God, I was so excited when Stephen Levine said that you were available to come on the show. I thought, oh, my God, do we need an expert for all my guests? We need an expert. I get so many emails. As you know, I'm sure, the entertainment business is extremely stressful. I think every career you're pursuing is extremely stressful, but especially show business. It is so competitive. It is very physically based on looks. There are a lot of things when you're pursuing a career in the entertainment industry that can cause one to become depressed, to have self-doubt, to just really want to give up. Are you familiar enough with the entertainment industry that you could give some sort of tips and advice to people who are pursuing a career as an actor, singer, model, dancer, et cetera?
Sure. I mean, I think, you know, there are a lot of very, you know, stressful careers, and I think the tools, the skills that we apply are effective no matter what career you choose in order to sort of fuel one's self-esteem and take care of yourself, engage in self-care, which could mean doing things where you know that you'll be successful, where you'll feel effective. So if you're somebody who tends to be athletic, you might want to get involved in, you know, MMA, you know, or boxing or kickboxing or, you know, something where you can learn something new and you can perfect it and be successful while you're taking care of your body and your mind. So that's the way to kind of fuel your self-esteem and bolster yourself when you're also pursuing a career that's so critical and judgmental of appearance. And, you know, you're going out there and you're putting all of your work forward and your passion and getting rejected repeatedly. You want to do something that's really going to make you feel good about yourself. So choose something where you can excel.
So,
and also, I think, yeah.
No, go ahead, continue.
I think also taking some time to really think about how to take good care of yourself and spend your quality, you know, your time with people that are supportive, quality time, because we, you know, we're all really busy and we're trying to, you know, working really hard on cultivating our craft and being successful, that a lot of times we don't stop to take time for ourselves. So think about how you can engage either with people or even with yourself and, you know, do some meditation or yoga, mindfulness, do something that'll help to, you know, focus on you and go inward for a little while and help to heal some of that and boost your energy and that sort of thing. So that, when you're out there.
I'm sorry, you know, go ahead.
When you're out there, you can actually put your best self forward and be successful in that way.
I'm so glad you said that because I encounter so many different ways that people pursue their careers. And I have found that the ones that seem to be moving and shaking and progressing and booking a lot of auditions are the ones that take time out and do Pilates or yoga or do something separate. Whereas the ones that are going, oh my God, they're calling all day and they're just so, they seem like they're working 10 times harder than the actor that is off doing yoga and Pilates, yet they're not booking as many things as the person who takes time out to kind of keep themselves centered, which is very interesting. So when I talk to the actor, I'm like, my God, you work so hard. You're looking at the trades, you're calling your agent, how do you do it? And they feel that the people who are taking time to do the yoga and relaxation and all these trips, they feel that they're wasting their time. Mm-hmm. Isn't that interesting? What do you think? That because
there's a lot to be said about balance. I think it's really important for us all to find balance in our lives. And, you know, you can't give 150% all the time when you're never refueling. We need to stop to refuel, which means slow things down and do things that make us feel good about ourselves and surround ourselves around positive people and positive energy. So I think we can go. We're passionate, we're driven, we're motivated, but we also need to stop and say, okay, let me stop for a minute and focus on me, so that I can refuel, so that I can put my best self forward.
And with an actor, one of the biggest things that they have a problem with is dealing with rejection, because they often go to what's called cattle calls, where there's a ton of people. If they're lucky, they get, yeah, it is. That's what it's called, a cattle call. I hate that term, but they've been calling it that for decades. And they go to that, and then out of all these people, if they don't get it, they think, my God, why didn't I get the part? They start looking around the room. As soon as you go on an audition, you start looking around the room. Who looks like me? Who's my competition? It can make you really crazy paranoid. So then they start thinking they need a nip and a tuck, and then they need some Botox, or they need to dye their hair. And how do you stop getting crazy and thinking that you got to fix your face and do your hair and you know, get cheek implants and all the other things that they do to be what they feel is competitive, when in actuality, casting directors and casting people want the person that looks natural, but it's a hard sell to get an actor to really, really believe that. What do you say to an actor to get them to think that way?
It's important for us to keep it all in perspective. You know, I mean, sure, we've all been surprised by, you know, somebody being selected that we would have never thought that they would have been chosen. So I think that you can't always predict who is going to be selected. And here, if people, you know, transform themselves artificially, you know, who knows, 5 years from now, the look could be completely different. So I just feel like that things are always changing. It's changing really quickly. And I feel like it's important to embrace who you are and know that, you know, if you accept who you are and you're going to be sort of emanating, right, this message that you're confident, you love who you are, of course you take care of yourself, and you know, we all can work on making ourselves look, you know, more attractive, whether that be we're talking about balance, trying to take time for ourselves, and we'll have a calmer presence, which appears more attractive than somebody who's totally frazzled and stressed out because they're not taking time to rejuvenate themselves, to recover from all the stress and pressure. So, you know, I think it's important for us to really keep it in perspective and understand there's a lot of social pressure for us to look a certain way. It doesn't necessarily mean that we're not attractive or that we're not good enough. It just means that, you know, the reality is that this is a society that we live in, that you just sort of need to, you know, accept that this is what we're dealing with, and know, you know, maybe you're not going to get, you know, the job that you want right now, here and now, but something's going to be coming up in the future. I'm very positive. I try to always focus on the positive, and I encourage my clients to do the same, because you focus on the positive, you bring positive into your life. So just know, even if you're not being successful right now and you feel like you're not getting, you know, the types of jobs that you want to get, it doesn't mean that that's not going to happen in the future. Continue to focus on yourself. Learn to accept yourself, body acceptance, appearance acceptance. Learn to love yourself, and people will be drawn to you and will like you and love you as well. Got to like yourself.
Absolutely. I agree 100%. So, and by the way, people, fake breasts have become passe. That's why everybody's having them taken out. So save your money, for God's sakes. What's her name? Sharon Osbourne just took time off to have hers out. So, you know, you don't need the breasts up near the shoulder blades. Your breasts are okay. I just wanted to get that in there. Okay. I'm going to do question.
A perfect example.
You know, yeah. Ah. I mean, they've already become passe. So What are you going to do? And then who doesn't know you got cheek implants when they look like golf balls in there?
That's reversible, right? We're talking about something that's reversible. You can get breast, implants removed. But there's a lot of things that are, it's so invasive, you can't reverse it.
Right.
So I hope people really think about that.
Right. And it completely changes your face. Everybody knows. If you think that people aren't going to notice, they're going to notice, for God's sake. Save your money. Get something else done. Get a massage. It's so much better.
And it doesn't make you feel better about yourself. It makes you actually obsess over your features more.
That's why you see
people doing, you know, more and more surgeries, because they start to get fixated on certain features on their face and think to themselves, well, I have the power to change that. The more you manipulate it, the more it starts to look bizarre and just out of the ordinary, right?
You start looking like the Catwoman, you know, you just don't, it's not right. You really have to find a way to become happy. Instead of spending money on getting the breast, the nose, the Botox, all that, or spend your money going to a counselor, to a therapist to be okay with you, right? That's what you need, because it's all psychological.
Yeah.
Let's start with our first question here. This comes from Caroline in Brooklyn, New York. And she says, dear Dr. Frankie, oh, let me get through these emails. You know, people, if you're going to send me the emails, I just want to tell you, you must be able to please write it so that I understand it, because I copy it and I paste it. And when it's not written, I have to struggle and go through it and try to figure it out and translate it. So just remember that. Okay, I'm going to try to get through this one. All right. Dear Dr. Frankie, my boyfriend is pursuing a career as an actor, but in my opinion and others, he really isn't a natural actor. In fact, most of the time I am embarrassed to go to his plays and often secretly wonder how he was cast at all. Damn. Okay. I know it is terrible to think this, as I am supposed to be proud of his career. I really love him for other things, but don't know if I can stay in a relationship with someone whom I feel guilty about his career and don't know how to tell him. Can you help me figure out what I should do? Caroline, Brooklyn, New York. Take it, Frankie.
Yeah, I think that's a good question. You know, he needs to come to that conclusion on his own, that he's not a natural actor. And having you tell him that he's not a natural actor will actually, I mean, I think, create some friction in the relationship. And I think that's something that he has to come to himself. And you may very well be correct. That he's not, but telling him isn't going to help him figure that out. I think you can, in a loving way, give him some feedback. But I think either you're going to have to sort of accept that this is, you know, his passion right now and this is what he's pursuing, if you're capable of accepting it, or accepting the fact that maybe it's not going to work out and you're not a match at this point in time. So I know that's kind of harsh, but...
Yeah, it's like you can... But isn't that kind of like a lot of relationships where you may love 80% of them or 90%, and then there's that 10% that works your last nerve?
But that's a big deal, right?
Yeah.
Our careers? That's a huge deal. That's like we're spending a lot of our time focusing on developing our careers. So we want to talk about it with our partner. We want to really have a partner who's supportive and excited about our successes in our career, or even, you know, supportive when we fail in our career. So if, you know, your partner is going to know if you kind of feel like, oh, you know what, this isn't really, you're not really great at what you do. And I mean, it's really going to come through and really undermine the sense of sort of safety and admiration and love in the relationship. So it's sort of a really significant piece.
That's true. So if you, how do you know if your love is strong enough to withstand that? Because you think, okay, well, maybe this is a phase and he'll get over it. So I'll spend 5 years with him or 10. You don't know. Is he going to go through the phase 5 years, 10 years? What are some things that you can say to yourself, okay, well, I'm going to wait for this and this and this, but I can't wait 5 years or I can't wait 10 years. How do you rationalize that for yourself?
I mean, I think we all have to weigh out the pros and cons in our relationships. And obviously, if the cons outweigh the pros, that we really need to reconsider our choice to stay in the relationship and consider other options.
But what if he's like so good in certain areas, which I'm not going to mention, we're talking like honey, whipped cream, lifesavers, seven times a day. You're not going to find many men that are up for that seven times a day. And that's a pretty strong motivator to stay with a guy, I hear. That would work my last nerve doing that. But I hear that is strong for the young people. They are really like, out there like bunny rabbits doing this stuff. So that seems to be more of a priority than actually thinking about other things like, is he going to be able to financially provide? Is he going to be a good father? There's so many things. But when you're young, and this person didn't list how old she was, but let's just say they're in their 20s. If you're in your teens and 20s, first of all, you shouldn't be thinking about getting married. But if you are, what can you do as a young person to kind of get knowledge real quick as to how to pick a husband?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I think through trial and error, I think we need to have relationships to experience what works for us and what doesn't work for us. And, you know, I think you can read and read and read, and it's important to be informed and educated about, you know, healthy communication and what, you know, give and take and reciprocation means in a relationship. But really, at the end of the day, we need to experience what it's like to actually be doing it, applying these concepts, experiencing what it's like to kind of be defensive in a relationship and see how that doesn't actually work for us. You know, I think we just need to feel it, experience it, and be in the thick of it to know. And that's why I encourage people in their 20s, don't settle down. Have a few relationships. Even if it's a, you know, 1 year or 2 year, and you have three of those, four of those, whatever it is, you want to, in your 20s, you want to be practicing. You want to be experiencing what it's like to be, you know, working in a relationship, making a relationship work.
That is a very good answer. I had to stop and think about that for a second. Absolutely. It's really hard. Relationships in general are very hard. Now, let me ask you something. You, Dr. Frankie Bishan, as a child, what exactly did you want to be or do when you grew up?
You know, it changed weekly. I would say I wanted to be a fashion designer for a while. I grew up around a parent that was, I grew up around a lot of fashion. My dad was a fashion designer, so that was, you know, early on a big exposure for me. And I really enjoy it and thought about that. But then, of course, my independence took over, and I thought, well, I want to be a psychologist. And I had an amazing therapist as a child, and I thought, you know, wow, I would love to be able to help people in such a meaningful way. And I thought about that for a while. Then I wanted to be a businesswoman and work in marketing. So just kind of, it just depended on the week, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I ended up, you know, I also did matchmaking. I made my first match when I was 13. My father and my stepmother, I brought them together. And as a teenager, I brought people together. And all throughout, you know, throughout my young adult life, I brought people together. And it's just something just naturally has been something I really enjoy doing. So that I have found a way to weave into my career as a clinical psychologist.
Now, you have, excuse me, you have various titles. I want to discuss that for a second. You are a relationship expert, a relationship coach, a clinical psychologist, and a matchmaker. I know you're familiar with what older people, like our parents and grandparents, their mentality. Well, it was a different world back then. These days, they don't seem to realize that a person can have many different titles and do many different things and make money at it and be good at it. I experience this as well as many of my friends. We are harassed constantly by our family members. Why are you a producer, a director, an actress, a plus-size model, this and that? How can you do all that? If you're going to be good at something, you have to do one thing, and you have to do it well. If you're doing all these other things, then you're going to be spreading yourself thin, and you're going to be a jack of all trades, but you're going to be a master of none. And I constantly have these conversations at dinners with my friends where they're being harassed by their family members, and then their family members, their mother and father or whoever, feels disappointed in them. Can you take us and try to make, or maybe try to help the audience have some sort of dialogue that they can use at these family functions or conversations where it's telling the families, it's okay that we do more than one thing because we can be successful at it. What do
sure.
you feel about that?
Sure. I mean, I'll tell you how I answer it. I mean, I normally say that, they are all associated. They're all related. So I studied, human behavior and clinical psychology. I'm learning all about human behavior for 10 years, for 5 years in grad school, and experience working with couples, adults, children, families. And I naturally am drawn to people and want to help people find love. It's just something that I've always wanted and to do, and I just wasn't quite sure how to weave it in. And when I realized my education and my clinical experience combined, and my drive and passion to bring people together could actually inform my work and help me be a successful matchmaker. So it's all associated. And the dating and relationship coaching is just, it's different from therapy in that it's very practical. It's very goal-oriented. I don't get into past traumas. I don't get into childhood experiences that might be coloring or impacting one's ability to have a healthy relationship today. Rather, I focus more about, well, what are the obstacles here? What might get in the way? And what are your goals? And helping people define those goals. So it's much more short-term and objective and focused. So they're all kind of connected, and I don't think I could be good at one without the other. Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
I just feel like they're all interrelated.
Yes, and your titles, along with what I was discussing with my friends, we're producers, we direct, we act, we write, I have multiple titles. Yeah, my mother says, well, can't you narrow it down to one and just be good at one? And my other friends are getting the same kind of harassment, because in the entertainment business, you can be an actor, but then you can go and direct a play, or you can be an actor and then produce a play. And I do it all. I host a radio show. I produce, I direct, I act, I was a plus-size model. And my mother's like, there's something wrong with you people out in California, because you have to focus. That is why Steven Spielberg didn't try to be an actor. And then she's like going into stuff she knows nothing about. But Steven Spielberg focused on being a director. That's why he's Steven Spielberg. So is it okay? Do you think it's okay for us people who are pursuing many? It's all related, but we do many different things. Do you think that that's okay? Or
Absolutely.
Do you think that it's deterring from one goal, being good at one thing?
I think it's absolutely okay. I mean, we're living in different times now, And I mean, an example is, it's really okay to have many different jobs, to stay at a job for 2-3 years now and go to another
right.
job and be there for 2-3 years and another job. 30 years ago, people really looked down upon that. I thought, you need to be somewhere for 15-20 years and retire there. You know what I mean?
That's right.
That
no gold
idea.
Watch. There's no gold watch anymore. No,
right.
It's a different world. I mean, it's normal to go through, I think, in this time period, I think maybe 5 jobs and sometimes 10, depending if you're an actor, but five jobs, I think, by the end of your life, and it probably is going to change. And a big thing that's happening now is telecommuting or teleworking.
Yeah.
And so it's changing. So our parents need to get with the program, but it's hard. They argue. It's a big argument. They don't seem to understand that.
And happiness is more of a priority, it seems, today. It's not about just about having a good job. It's about liking where you work, waking up in the morning and feeling happy, when you think about getting ready and getting dressed to go to work, feeling good about it. So I think that's a little bit different. When I think about my grandparents, it was like, okay, they had a good job that paid the bills, and they went regardless of whether they liked it or not.
That is true. Now, some of the reasons that people seek relationship coaching are, I guess, somebody who hasn't dated in a while, maybe somebody who's so focused on their career that they haven't learned to date, and maybe somebody, God bless them, they're so unaware that their past is affecting their dating life that they just don't they don't know how to date. And also, there are people who are they have body image issues. There's social anxiety, which I see coming in droves for some people. I mean, I have had so many friends who were absolutely functioning, and then all of a sudden they just started to not come to parties and then not do this. Next thing you know, they're having a hard time even coming out of their house. And then you have people who have low self-esteem. So many, many, many different reasons. How does relationship coaching help these people?
like I said, I help people identify what is getting in the way of them feeling successful or happy in their relationships. So some people can't even identify what the problem is. Like right. There are patterns that are repeating themselves and they're not even conscious of it. They're not aware of it. So I help them identify what it is that's making them feel unhappy in their relationship. And then I help them acquire the skills to be successful, whether it be, you know, that they're not in a relationship now and they want to acquire skills on successfully selecting a partner, you know, what they should be looking out for, what, you know, what are red flags? How do they handle rejection? How do they reject somebody in a way that's acceptable? How do they handle the fact that they're rejecting somebody? So there's, you know, it's a lot of learning how to modulate anxiety and learning about what's socially acceptable, learning how, you know, I have clients that come to me that, you know, were in a long-term relationship and now they're finding themselves single and don't know how to get online and do online dating. They're terrified about online dating. So they're coming to me and they want to explore the possibility of matchmaking. And they also want to explore the possibility of doing online dating and having somebody guide them and help them understand the process. So, you know, through some guidance and education and skill acquisition, I help them really become really confident and comfortable in their own skin and, you know, putting themselves out there in a way that really represents them well.
Now, I heard that you think that one of the main reasons that people have a hard time finding love, excuse me, in the LGBT community is because that they let, God, I wish I could had a cough drop. I'm so sorry. In the LGBT community is because that they let society's perception of them negatively affect their self-worth.
Yes.
And why is that?
You know, it's something that we consciously try not to allow happen, but it just sort of seeps in. A lot of us grew up around, you know, families that may not have been entirely supportive of gay people, and the comment here or the statement there that has, you know, been heard, it gets internalized. And we all go through our coming out process, and, you know, and the people who were not surrounded around people who were supportive of folks in the LGBT community deal with a lot of struggle around that, a lot of internal conflict around that. So, you know, obviously our society has come a long way, which is amazing, making it easier for gay people to feel comfortable with who they are. But nonetheless, it's still a challenge. And I think that they need to become conscious of how there's that undercurrent. They need to be conscious that that exists for them. And some people don't even know that that's actually undermining their ability to be successful in relationships. They're not aware of it because it's unconscious. It's really deep, deep, deep inside themselves that, you know, they were exposed to as a small child. They're not aware of it. So
now you
I help people.
Yeah. You specialize in the lesbian community, and I understand that you'll be opening it up to the entire LGBT community soon, and your little your brand, The Little Gay Book, is based in San Francisco, New York, and LA, and that your coaching can be done nationally and internationally. And you also do, which I think is really cool, you can coach via Skype. I
yeah.
love that. And that is really cool because not a lot of therapists do that. They have to have you laying on the couch or in a chair, or you have to be face to face. Tell us all about one, your little gay book, and also tell us about how coaching via Skype can help people no matter where they are.
So that's the difference. I can Skype coach with my clients because I'm not doing therapy. You can't really do therapy via Skype. So coaching is really different, and I'm able to help folks through Skype, which is amazing because it's nicer to be able to see people and for them to see me. So that's a really nice piece that I can add. Little Gay Book actually is a resource website as well. So folks, you know, I encourage you to visit my website. It's littlegaybook.com, and there are relationship tips on there and a lot of educational information. There's an Ask Dr. Frankie column, and people submit questions and I respond to relationship focused questions. And Little Gay Book is my business that, you know, focuses on matchmaking and dating and relationship coaching. And yes, I offer services in New York, LA, and San Francisco.
Now,
so that's where you can learn all about it.
you're a relationship expert, not only for the LGBT community, but you also are a relationship expert and psychologist for anyone who's straight as well.
Yes, exactly. I just don't do matchmaking in the straight community yet. I would love to eventually do that, but I think that for right now, I'm offering coaching because the skills that I teach are applicable to straight, you know, heterosexual people or gay people. It doesn't matter what type of relationship. They're skills that everybody needs to acquire to have a successful relationship.
Yes, we need more pickup lines, Dr. Frankie Bishan. You got to show people how to do the pickup lines. Not, you know, not like pickup, but, you know, how to introduce yourself to someone. A lot of people don't know how to do it these days. And that's just amazing to me because, you know, I'm a product of the 80s. So it was a little easier. You just go to a club and I guess that's it. You know, guys would come up to you and buy you a drink and that's just how it was. But today, it's just totally different. The stuff that I hear that happens out at the clubs, it's a total meat market and it makes it so hard to find a good relationship because you're always suspecting them of wanting to have sex right away. You think, oh, I'm at a club, I'm dancing, why am I here? Are they just wanting sex? And there's so much pressure going to a club. So I would imagine that you teach people other ways or coach people in other ways of how to meet someone other than going to the traditional club, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think it's really hard to actually meet people in a club. I think it's nearly impossible to meet quality people in a nightclub.
Yeah, quality.
A lot of people are shy.
Yeah.
Also.
That's the key word. Yeah. And usually you're under the influence of alcohol. So you got your polished social mask on and just meet somebody straight. That's the key, I think. Now, you have spent over 9 years working in clinical practice. You have your doctorate in clinical psychology and you've been married over 8 years and have 2 children. That is a huge success in today's society. How do
it's
you
nine
do
and a half,
it?
Actually.
Oh,
nine
it's
and
nine
a half years.
Half now. Yeah. I have old information. So how do you do it? How do you balance everything? What is the secret?
You know, I really practice what I preach. So, you know, I spend quality time with my kids. I don't have a ton of time with them. So it's, you know, quality versus quantity. So Sundays and Saturday afternoons, those are sacred times for me with my children. I make time for exercise. I make sure that I eat a healthy, balanced diet. I make time to spend, you know, with friends and family. And, you know, I work a lot. I definitely work a lot, but I also make sure to carve out time for all of these necessary elements in my life that if they're not in balance, then I cannot be productive or successful in my, you know, passion in life, which is, you know, Little Gay Book.
Now, if you are, do you find that being in the LGBT community, do you find that starting a relationship with someone that you have more opportunities to find someone as a lesbian, or do you think that you have more opportunities to find someone as a male, a homosexual male? Because I have one of my best friends, he says that his friend is a lesbian and she always complains she cannot find a lot of women in the lesbian community. And he says, I could go to a club and I could get like 10 guys, but there's my friend, she can't meet anyone. How, if you are a lesbian, how do you, are there, where do you go? What do you do? What's the
best
thing?
That's a good question. Because, you know, it really depends on where you live. You know, in the San Francisco Bay Area, there are many, many lesbians. There are many places where lesbians can convene, whether it doesn't have to necessarily be a bar. It can be an activity, you know, a hiking group or a biking group or some kind of club, a reading club. Meetup.com is amazing. So people post ideas about what, you know, whether it be going on a bike ride or a knitting club, and they invite people to go. They just have their information up there, and you can join the group by signing up. And, you know, I imagine that some cities use it more frequently than others, like Craigslist, right? I mean, some cities use it readily. You know, it's just kind of frequently used, whereas some cities don't really access it. So, you know, I encourage people to find out in their area by going in, you know, to the LGBT center. Hopefully their area has an LGBT center, and finding out where you know, women are getting together, because oftentimes it is easier to socialize as a gay man because there's just, they have more venues.
Right.
There are more, you know, places for them to get together.
That's exactly what he was saying. And I said, well, you know, what do the women do? Where do they go? And he said that more women who are gay are still in the closet than men who are gay. Is that true?
You know, I don't know. I haven't researched that, so I don't know that I can speak to that.
Well, he said that's why there aren't enough venues for lesbians, because they are just still not coming out in droves like that. I don't know. I thought that we'd bring that
up. My personal opinion is that women just don't spend money like men do. Women don't,
right.
At the bars. I mean, I see that in San Francisco at the bars, that the men spend money on alcohol, and the women will be very much more kind of thoughtful about how they spend their money, and they don't go out as much. So I have events in San Francisco that I put on with a few other people.
Oh.
And oftentimes, you know, you see that they don't last very long because women don't consistently go out. So these events can't keep functioning without women showing up.
Exactly. So you are based in San Francisco. You offer counseling and coaching via Skype. And if someone wants to get a hold of you and talk about any issues that we have discussed today, what is the best way to go to your website, Dr. Frank?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Actually, the website I would recommend people to go to is littlegaybook.com, because there's a lot of resources on there. The Dr. Frankie Vachon website, you know, is actually very just simple. It just gives you some information to contact me. The Little Gay Book actually gives you some information and articles that I write monthly on there, and people put, you know, questions. They post questions that I respond to. So I would definitely visit that website. You can also call me directly, and my contact information is up on my website. And
okay.
I don't do counseling on the phone or via Skype. It's all coaching.
Coaching what area?
In dating and relationship coaching.
Okay.
So I see couples in a coaching capacity, and I also see individuals.
Okay. And since you are a matchmaker, I love that, and you just matchmake in the lesbian community, so maybe you could be the one to start having the brick-and-mortar buildings go up for more venues, or think of some way to get women out there.
I do in the San Francisco Bay Area, but I get contacted almost daily by people all over the country that are not as fortunate as us in the Bay Area, who don't have places to go, who are still in the closet, who don't feel safe or comfortable going out and being out in the world as a lesbian or a gay male. So I hope in time that we'll continue to work on reaching out to those communities out there and helping them to feel confident enough to have, you know, a ladies' night out, you know, or some sort of get together that is all, you know, women or all men.
Absolutely. I'm going to do one question before we wrap this up, and this comes from Lois from Kansas City. And Lois says, "Dear Frankie, I was a successful actress who just recently moved back to Kansas. I had an accident, and now I'm in a wheelchair. I was told by my husband that he is kind of embarrassed to push me around, and he feels really bad about it. I have always known he is kind of superficial, but never thought he would ever feel that way when times turned bad for me. It has caused me to feel very sad and depressed, and I don't know if I want to stay with a person who has this ugly side to them. I am still shocked from hearing this and don't know how to deal with it, as we have been married over 25 years.
Mm, wow. You know, I think it would be helpful if he could find a caregiver support, something, a support group for people similar, you know, in a position that he's in, where he's providing support and care to his partner, so that he gets some support and education and learns how to accept that this is an adjustment, and learn to embrace the situation. I think it would be helpful. I don't know any websites in particular, but I would get online and I would try to research some sort of support group, caregiver support group, or a disabilities support group, and make some calls and find out if there's anything out there in your area where he could get support, and also for you to get support, right? In because it must be so hard to be in your, you know, in your position of not feeling accepted now that you're, you know, handicapped and your partner, who is the closest person to, isn't able to accept this and is struggling. So I think you both need support. And maybe couples therapy would be, you know, really, really helpful. I would think that that's also something to really consider.
Well, what do you think of that, though? I mean, you've been married to someone for over 25 years, and now he's telling you that, what is it? I want to make sure I get it right. He feels embarrassed to be around her. I mean, what kind of person feels embarrassed to be pushing his wife? I mean, what do you think is going on with him?
I mean, this is somebody who didn't expect this to happen, right? This is
right.
He wasn't prepared for this, and it sort of happened. And I think maybe he just hasn't yet processed. You know, he might be angry. He might have feelings about, you know, why me? Why us? Why is this happening? And it might be coming out in ways that appear that he's heartless when he's actually just angry about the fact that this has happened. Because he could appear really just, his anger could come out in all different ways, which I think it would be helpful for a therapist to sort of be able to interpret that and help both of them better understand what's happening there.
Right.
Because it's a big adjustment, right? I mean, accessibility, you know, everything changes. You know, everything that they've known as a couple, you know, activity level and being able to participate. I mean, I don't think we even really realize how much lives change once they lose their mobility, right?
Right. But I was really kind of perturbed at that, because when she says that she's always known he was kind of superficial, immediately I thought, well, if this guy is superficial, I don't think he's ever going to be able to deal with this.
It might be the case.
I mean, people who are superficial, they really, superficial and shallow people really have a hard time dealing with their own physical appearance, let alone to be with somebody who's now in a wheelchair, because now that's a reflection of what they look like. And I think
exactly.
That, you know, and
but
I think.
But again, they've been together 25 years, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a reason why they stayed together, even though she's noticed that he's been superficial. She's still been in it. She has chosen to stay.
Mm-hmm.
So there's something there, you know, that has kept her there.
That's right.
But maybe this will be the turning point. Maybe this will kind of push it over the edge and make it so that, you know, she can't tolerate his superficiality.
Yeah, but now, unfortunately, she's going to need him more than ever. It seems, I mean, I don't know what the situation is, but it's kind of like she's stuck with him now. I mean, I don't know. But this could be like, we could talk about this an hour. But anyway, hopefully Dr. Frankie Bishan helped the two people who wrote in today. And if you want her, see, with this great advice she gave, you too can talk to her. You just have to go to her website, which is Dr. Frankie Bishan, and also visit her website. Is that an actual book, a physical book, or the Little Gay Book? It's a website, Little Gay Book.
It's my business. Yeah, it's littlegaybook.com.
Okay, littlegaybook.com.
Yeah.
So we have loved having Dr. Frankie Bishan on today. And if you want to talk to her and get all of your life's problems solved, you want to give Dr. Frankie a call. Right, Dr. Frankie Bishan?
Yes, I would love to hear from you.
You are the one. So please give her a call. You can find her number on the website, drfrankiebishan.com, Little Gay Book. And we really appreciated you being on the show. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. I can't tell you, I know you've probably helped so many people, at least the two people that wrote in with the question.
I hope so.
Thank you so much
for having me on.
And you know what? I would love for you to come on next year if you're available. I really would.
Absolutely.
I would feel so honored to have you come on. So I am going to talk to Steve and try to get you back on the show next year, my darling.
Thank you
so much. Say goodbye to your audience members today, Dr. Frankie Bishan.
Bye, everyone. Take care. Thanks for listening to us.
Bye. See you next week.
Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.